Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Right Radio!
Nerd Alert!
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 295 of Nerd Pride Radio. 295 in the Marvel Universe, Earth 295 was accidentally created by Charles Xavier's son, Legion. Turns out he had decided that the best path forward for human and mutant kind was to kill off Magneto early. So he traveled back in time to kill Magneto and then accidentally wound up killing his own father when Xavier jumped in front of Magneto and took the, I don't know, I didn't actually read the comic, I'm just reading the summary, but basically took the killing shot that was intended for Magneto, and thus when Charles Xavier dies, Legion can no longer exist in that timeline, and it creates this entire bizarre world where Xavier and the X-Men as such never form, and thus I think Apocalypse discovers this world, or Apocalypse sees this battle of super beings early, and thus he starts his own rampage early. And anyway, that's Earth 295. All right. But the other one that we had found, and I say we, when actually this was my lovely wife, Lisa, discovered both of these facts, and just I'm living vicariously through her work. Thank you, Lisa. But also found that the telephone prefix for Milledgeville, Georgia, is 295. And I only know that, not the area code, just the prefix, the three digits in the middle there. And we only know this because when she Googled for 295 Nerd, it takes you to a company called Need a Nerd, which is a cell phone and computer repair service in Milledgeville, and there's 295 right there in their number. So, which reminds me, did I tell you guys last week about stem cells? Did I bring that story up? I feel like I did, but I'm going to repeat it anyway because it's relevant here. When we were up in Wagner, South Dakota, there's a store in Wagner, South Dakota called Stem Cells, where apparently it is a floral shop and cell phone repair shop in the same building. So I assume husband and wife, that one does the flowers and the other does, obviously, the phones. Stem cells. Funny. All right. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is you're supposed to ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a Pathfinder slash D&D nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus or like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we are recording live from our Nerd Pride studios in the workout room of Castle Grayskull. Before we do anything else, well, okay, we're not really going to do this segment, but it's supposed to be a little feedback. And I got some really great feedback from Kyle, but unfortunately it's all directed at Aiden, who is not here this week, so we'll save it for next week when Aiden joins me. And that means we'll skip right ahead to the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me, where I talk about all of the interesting things I've stumbled across in the last week. If something tickles my nerd fancy during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. Straight into it. We're going to start off with a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. Look, this is the sad part of the show because we're not at Gen Con right now. Because, you know, live Gen Con was canceled. And so normally, at this point, I think Dave and I would be on the road just having finished recording our Nerd Pride Radio podcast from Gen Con, where we always do a 2 or 3 hour spectacular to sum up everything that we did. And so I'm kind of missing that. I miss the drive. I miss the event. I miss all the people. And it's sad. And yes, they did have online Gen Con, virtual Gen Con running this year, and decided not to join that one. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But if you are interested, and you should be, Nelly is still putting together her Gen Con vlogs over on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and look for Nelly's Nerdy Adventures, she's got everything going on over there. And so she's as of the recording of this podcast, she has already done days 1, 2, and 3. And I assume, well, by the time you listen to it, day 4 should be up. She's putting them up around midnight, Eastern time. And so therefore, if you want to see what you've been missing out on at Gen Con, you should go look. It's totally worth your time, and it's kind of making me sorry that I didn't go. I mean, even virtually. But it just, like I say, I just wasn't feeling it. I was just so sad. So, our friend of the podcast, Ron, did send me a great picture of a cosplay from Dragon Con, which I've been sharing around with everybody. It's a cosplay that is at once simultaneously hysterical and also just tragic. It is a Neverending Story cosplay that is very timely because I just talked about Neverending Story last week. And it is a kid dressed up as a Treyu kneeling on the floor, and there is a holding the reins of the head of a horse that is sitting there, so it looks as if the horse has sunk into the floor. And it is just, it's heartbreaking, but it's also super clever. And it's a really good costume. So, God, I should just post that up on the website somewhere so I can share with all of you guys too. Anyway, enough about Gen Con. It's going to make me sad. So, maybe next year. All right. But now, next session, hey, how's it going? Yeah, you holding up all right? I mean, seriously, what have you guys been up to? Because things are going pretty well. I mean, you know, as usual, I'm not suffering too much. But you know, I know that unemployment ran out this weekend for a lot of people, and which includes Aiden. So, wow, maybe I should bleep that. Maybe he didn't want that public knowledge. But anyway, I mean, he's fine. He's going back to work in, I don't know, a week and a half. 2 weeks, something like that. So, you know, fingers crossed, he should be doing just fine. But yeah, I know unemployment's running out. The stimulus checks aren't coming around. I know people are on hard times. Coronavirus is just on the rise. And so it's rough. So, done anything fun? Because me and my wife, we usually go out and do something adventurous for our anniversary, but because adventurous seems more dangerous right now. We decided that we were just going to get a hotel room here in town and just go spend the night alone, away from the kids, away from the ringing phones, away from everything, and just go be just the two of us in a thoroughly sanitized hotel room. And it was wonderful. We had a really, really nice time. It was very pleasant. It was exactly what we were hoping for. Although, when we got there, we had brought the laptop, and so we were going to hook it up to the TV. I had an HDMI cable. We were going to hook it up to the TV so we could watch movies there. And as it turns out, the remote control for the TV in our room was broken such that just the 3 buttons in the middle didn't work. And that meant that I couldn't change the input source. I could still use the TV perfectly fine. Turn it on, turn it off, flip channels. Everything worked except that stupid input button and the closed captioning button, but that didn't matter. And so we couldn't switch over and watch Netflix. And so I went up to the front desk, and it took several tries back and forth. The manager came out a couple of times, and finally she got a remote control that did work for our room so we could watch our movies. It took a little bit, but, you know, they made good on it. It was just fine. And then later, we went to go get in the hot tub because we have a hot tub in our room, you know, anniversary and all. And so we figured we'd put on a movie and just relax in the hot tub, and it would be awesome. And then the hot tub didn't work. I mean, it worked. You could feel it, but the jets didn't work. The whole jacuzzi thing didn't work. We tried a ton of times. Couldn't get it sorted out. So I go back to the front desk, and I explain to the manager what's going on. And I said, you know, I understand things happen. It's not a, you know, but it is disappointing. And she says, well, I wish I had another hot tub room I could put you in, but we don't. So what can I do to make it up to you? And I said, I just want you to know so you can get it fixed tomorrow. And then, you know, I don't want to pay for a hot tub room if I'm not getting a hot tub room. That's all. She said, I'll make the adjustment. Don't even worry about it. Go back to the room. Not 30 minutes later, cheesecake shows up at our door. Oh, and it was great cheesecake. Holy crap, that was worth breaking a diet for. And so we enjoyed our cheesecake, and we're still relaxing. And then my wife is walking back to the bathroom for something, and on her way, she just randomly flips a switch on the wall, and when she does, the hot tub starts up. And we're like, oh, shit. So we go look, we read the instructions, and oh, yeah, we both read these instructions. We both looked at them. We followed these instructions to the best of our abilities. And apparently we are now the old couple that can't get the time set on our VCR because we both completely missed the, oh yeah, and hit that switch right there. Oh my God. We're just idiots. I felt so bad. So, next morning on the way out, I went to the same manager, still working, worked all night long. So poor woman, 12-hour shift. And, she's still there, and so I went to her, and I said, I am an idiot. I am so sorry. I'm a complete idiot. I told her what happened and that, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, and I am absolutely willing to pay for the full price of the room because we wound up having a wonderful time, and they were very accommodating. They were so sweet. And she said, oh, you know what? The adjustment's already made. I'm glad you enjoyed the dessert. Happy anniversary. You're fine. And that was it. And so, I mean, it all turned out great in the end. Just because I'm dumb, I get a discount on the room. So, you know, be stupid more often, I suppose. Anyway, that's how's it going. It's been all right. I'm doing pretty good. I hope you guys are well as well. Let's see what I have next. I should learn to scroll down before I need to read. That would be great, wouldn't it? Radio. All right. Next up, it's the Science Corner.
Ooh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Mars news time. That's right. Apparently, we just hit our closest pass to Mars again, you know, which happens every 2 years or so. But apparently you can tell it's the closest pass to Mars because all of a sudden the United Arab Emirates is sending a Mars rover up. Or are they sending the rover? Or are they sending the one that's, or they're putting the one in orbit? I can't remember, but where the U.S. is also sending up, a Mars rover. I believe China is sending a rover at the same time. So, you know, Mars is getting busy this time of year. And then, you know, they'll all be there in 3 to 6 months or whatever it is. But that's what happens when Mars gets this close to the Earth. Also, in Mars news, Arcia Mons is an extinct volcano on Mars. It's in the southern hemisphere. And if you go search for, search for cloud on Mars, because that's what's happened, is over Arcia Mons, a cloud just formed. And you're thinking, oh, wait, but Arcia Mons, you said extinct volcano. Oh my God, is it going off? No. Mars is not volcanically active. It is dead in that sense. But this cloud, it just happenstance that it's a volcano. It could have been any mountain. This cloud apparently comes around this time of every Martian year. And once it shows up every day for like 80 days and then it stops. And they think what's happening is that they've got a low pressure mass that winds up pushing cold air up the slope of the mountain, and then as it gets even higher, it cools off, and then it forms a cloud, as clouds do. And I guess I was just amazed because I didn't know there was enough water vapor in the Martian atmosphere to form clouds at all. I've never even thought of Mars as having clouds, but apparently, yeah, go look at the picture. Search for clouds on Mars, or cloud on Mars, and there's the little cloud just floating there over the southern hemisphere. It's really kind of cool. So anyway, that's Mars news. Next up, let's do word of mouth. Yeah, you know it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. And so therefore, you know, the best way, well, one of the best ways to support ventures that you appreciate is to tell other people about them. And so that's what I'm doing right here. I say at the end of every podcast that the best thing you can do for me is to go spread the word and tell other people about Nerd Pride Radio. Well, I need to do more of that myself. So here I am telling you about some shit I love, and two podcasts that you need to be listening to right now. All right, one is called The Truth, and The Truth is a short story podcast. They are short radio plays, anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes, and they're really good. They're usually sci-fi fantasy of some sort, usually very, very Black Mirror-esque, in a way, although not always dark, but still that same kind of Twilight Zone-ish sort of feel to them. And they're just great. I really, really like The Truth. I think I may have listened to this podcast way back, and I don't remember why I stopped listening to it, but maybe it was a different one I'm thinking of. It doesn't make any difference. I'm listening to it now, and every episode is a good one. Yancey is the one that brought me to it this time, and he said, okay, do you know the story we're made of, they're made of meat? And I'm like, well, of course I know the story they're made of meat. And so he's letting me know that, yeah, this is, the Truth did a presentation of They're Made of Meat at some point. And that was the thing that hooked him. I'm like, oh my God, I love that story. And so then I've gone and listening, and so far, every single one's a winner. I am really, really happy with them. So, sorry about that. You guys heard the doorbell. Just neighbor kid wanting to play with Noah. So anyway, that's The Truth. And you should listen to The Truth. It is a great podcast. The other one, though, and this one came from Akiva, friend of the podcast, Akiva. And Akiva told me about The Constant. And I cannot remember the name of the host of The Constant. But it is, first up, it is a story about history. And it's basically stories about history going wrong. That's fine. And I love history. I love storytelling. But this guy has exactly the right tone. He is well prepared. He does his research, unlike me. He tells great stories from history, but he also throws a little bit of irreverence in there. Because it is such a scripted podcast, it is very clear that every word he says is part of his script. And yet, still, even when he gets to jokes, normally in a scripted podcast, jokes have to be kind of off the cuff for them to really resonate with me, or they usually just fall flat. And he's just funny. And so I really enjoy listening to The Constant. And it is, again, every episode's a winner. Start off with the very most recent episode that he's got, which is a short one entitled Real Facts and Beer. And it's one of his shorter episodes. His episodes can be anywhere from, half an hour up to, a two-part, two-hour extravaganza, just depending on what the topic is. But Real Facts and Beer is a great story, something I was unfamiliar with. And it's super entertaining and manages to also be timely at the same time. And It's just great. So look, invest half an hour to listen to just that one episode and then decide if you want to keep going with this guy because he's really good. And I really appreciate the constant. So you should listen. There you go. All right. Last thing in the meticulously planned portion is uncomfortable topics. Yeah, this is stuff that you really don't want to bring up around the Thanksgiving table. But, you know, sometimes we got to talk about them. So, look, here's the thing. It's coronavirus related. And you know, as we've crossed over 150,000 deaths, over 5 million people in this country infected, I keep hearing from lots of people, because I live in a deep red state, I hear all the time casual conversation about how it's all a hoax and how, oh yeah, you just wait, you know, once the election's over in November, this whole COVID thing's going to go away because they don't need it anymore. You know, once the election's done, you'll never hear about it again. All sorts of stuff like this, or even the milder, the less politically motivated ones where people are just convinced that, look, boy, remember when everyone got sick last fall? That was everybody getting sick with COVID. And so we've all already had it. We're all immune to it at this point. Or hey, look, it's just going to fade out, or it's just going to, okay, there's plenty of talk. And my point here is, I wish those things were true sometimes, you know? I mean, okay, look, I don't wish that there was a huge Democratic conspiracy to invent, make up stories about a plague just to bring down Donald Trump. I don't wish that, really. But, you know, yeah, I think it would be awesome if it turns out that, yeah, you know what? When we all thought we had the flu last year, that was all us being the first wave of COVID, and now we're all immune to it. I would love to find out that it's not really as deadly as everyone has made it out to be, and that there's been an error in the numbers. I would love to find out those things, because it would mean that we're not going to see that many deaths. It would mean that things are going to get better, and I would love to see that. Even if I would love that we somehow find a miracle cure, that a vaccine, even though the fastest we've ever created a vaccine, from discovery of disease to creation of vaccine, the fastest it's ever been done is like 3 to 5 years. Okay, and we're looking to get this one done in 18 months. But there's still people, you know, who are hoping that maybe even sooner than that. And you know what? I would love that to be true. I don't think it's going to be. I mean, there's still processes here, and we're putting in a ton of money worldwide to ramp this up. And so hopefully we can accelerate the procedure. But, you know, even if it meant that a miracle cure came around, that, you know, that, there, hydroxychloroquine, even if it meant hydroxychloroquine really is the miracle cure that they think it is, that would be amazing. And that, you know, oh, all of a sudden we've got a miracle cure, we've got a vaccine. Even if it meant Trump getting reelected, which I personally think is a horrible thing to happen to this country, my opinion, even if it meant him getting reelected, I would still be glad to see it, because it would mean hundreds of thousands of lives saved, potentially, and that would be awesome. But also, I don't expect that those things are going to happen, because, you know, there's a lot of facts out there. And even though we don't know everything about this disease, we're learning more and more every day, and the facts are getting clearer, and we know how things run, and we know what the estimates from the very best experts in the world are. And so we have a range of possibilities of where this is going to go, and miracle cure does not seem to be on the horizon. You know, suddenly turning everything around and being able to beat this thing back here in our country doesn't seem to be an immediate prospect. I wish it was, but it's not. And so here's my issue is that, you know, as I follow the news on these things, every time new information comes out that proves that my expectations have been, you know, fairly on target, it's disappointing and it's disheartening, because it means that there's still more people out there suffering and still more people out there that are probably going to die because of this. And that, our government, our nation as a whole, are responsible for a lot of this, for not taking this seriously in time and for politicizing the issue and not being able to find a way to bring about some resolution on this and get people all on board with helping and fixing things. And so it's disappointing. But also there's always that part of me that's like relieved that science still works and that you know, our best estimates and judgments have actually been correct if people would just listen to the experts. And I'm glad to know that science is still there and still working. And my fundamental understanding of the world and science hasn't been turned completely upside down. And then I feel guilty about feeling relieved. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, okay. I'm relieved that things work the way I expected. But things working the way I expected means more people going to die. And so, I don't know. It's a weird up and down. I don't know. Maybe I should just cut this whole segment. I'm just depressing myself. Or maybe we could turn to something more fun with the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you guys come in. If you want to hear me have wrong about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And my first number is 50. And 50 is... Oh, I have to switch over to the list. Duh. 50 is from... There it is. It's from Lisa. Hey, Lisa. And Lisa says, which execution method from history do you think is most interesting? Ew, that's a gruesome question. I was, the first time I heard about it, I was particularly horrified by pressing. I just can't get over the sheer terror of this. Pressing is just, they put weights on your chest and then they just keep increasing the weight until you can't breathe and you suffocate. And it's a slow process because they slowly increase, and that's terrifying to me. That hopelessness, that because they give you a long while of struggling to breathe, where it's enough to hurt you, but it's not enough to kill you yet. It reminds me of the times when we would bury each other in the sand at the beach, and so yeah, you dig a hole. Somebody sits in that hole, and then you bury them up to their neck in sand. And for me, it would the last couple of times I even attempted to sit in that hole, it wound up being very claustrophobic for me and feeling like I can't draw enough of a breath. And especially when you think you're going to work your arms out, because, you know, this is when you're in college and your friends are all assholes, and you think you're going to work your arms out. And so your friends who've been playing on the surf this whole time see that you're starting to escape. So they come up and they pile more sand on it, and then they stomp on it, and then it just presses down tighter and you can't breathe. I'm surprised none of us ever died doing this. But so I'm imagining that, but millions of times worse, and that's pressing. So I think that is just terrifying. I really do. I mean, there's all sorts of horrible, horrible things that we've done to people over the years. I mean, you know, any of the things where they gut you and they let you hold on to your own intestines as they spill out to the floor, and you get to die slowly that way. There's lots of them. They're just going to get more gruesome from here. I'm going to stop. All right. 70. 70 comes from... Let's see, 70. It's from Lisa again. And Lisa says, according to top10s.com, top10s, T-O-P-T-E-N-Z, okay. According to top10s.com, what are the top 10 most famous cartoon dogs? Make your guess, and then follow this link to check on your answer. All right, most famous cartoon dogs. I am going to go with Snoopy. Scooby-Doo first. Scooby-Doo, and then Snoopy, and then somewhere further down the line is probably Scrappy-Doo. I don't know if you're including comic strip dogs as well, because Snoopy has been in Peanuts cartoons, and he's been in the comic strip Peanuts. So I kind of count him. But, I mean, do you count Odie and Marmaduke and that kind of stuff, or are we only going with cartoons? Because then, oh, Droopy Dog is in there. Spike from the Tom and Jerry cartoons. There's got to be so many more, and I'm not coming up with them. All right, so I'm now going to go to top tens. Top 10 animated dogs. Oh, see, it's right there in the URL. Top 10 animated dogs. Oh, frickin' Goofy and Pluto. Why didn't I think Disney? So Goofy and Pluto. I'm sitting here trying to think of Warner Brothers dogs. Was there a named dog in any of the Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck cartoons? I can't think of one off the top of my head that was a main character. I mean, there was still whoever that southern gentleman was who had a bulldog named Belvedere. Belvedere, come here, boy. I always liked that cartoon. But all right, no, that's enough. That's enough. I'm not going to waste any more time on this. Hold on. Let's just go click the URL and find out. And clicky, clicky. And now, oh, come on. No. Don't link me to another page. Darn it. I was trying to scroll and I accidentally clicked. Okay. Oh, Ren. Ren from Ren and Stimpy. Ren Hoke. Sure. Blue from Blue's Clues. I suck at this game. But that's okay. Then that's 10 and 9. That's Steve singing to Blue. And once again, I gotta stop clicking stuff and just scroll. Santa's Little Helper from The Simpsons. Are you out of your mind that that's the number 8 most famous animated dog? Okay, Brian Griffin. Great. I got that. All right. I missed that. All right. Odie. At least I said Odie's name. I forgot that there were plenty of Garfield animated cartoons. Lady and the Tramp. Jesus, I suck. All right. Odie's the only one I even said. Pluto. All right. Pluto counts. Good. Underdog. Wow. Scooby-Doo, obviously. Snoopy. All right, I got Snoopy and I got Scooby-Doo. I got them in the wrong order, but I got those. So Snoopy, Scooby-Doo, and Pluto, and I'm going to count Odie. Screw you guys, I'm counting Odie. So I got 4 out of 10. That's not bad. How'd you guys do? Yeah, I should have told you to pause and think of it yourself beforehand. But did you guys think of any of those that I missed while I was going on? I'm sure you did. All right, anyway, let's do one more. 66. And 66 is from Kyle. Kyle says, what is Lisa's shoe size? It changes. It is usually women's 9.5. But, you know, a lot of shoes aren't coming in half sizes. And so, you know, it's usually we just go with 10 because it's easier, especially when you're buying sandals. A lot of them won't have the half sizes. And she loves sandals. She must have. Anyway, doesn't matter. She loves sandals. If you want to cheer Lisa up, you buy her a pair of sandals. It works. It's easy. All right. You guys want to do one more since that one was so quick? Doesn't matter. We're doing it anyway. 19 is from Ronster. Hey, Ron. And Ron says, knowing you had a 50% chance of winning and would be paid 10 times the amount of your bet if you won, what fraction of what you own would you wager? Boy. All right, so knowing I have a 50-50 shot, but the payoff is 10 times. So I could put down $100 and there's a 50-50 shot of me walking away with $1,000. Oh, I don't know. I am uncomfortable with that. I am risk averse and I know it's illogical, but I probably would not bet an entire I wouldn't bet a whole lot on that because, to me, the risk of not winning would suck. And so, therefore, and I know it's illogical. Like literally, with these sorts of odds, you should be out there betting, you know, everything that you could possibly get your hands on because the payoff is so enormous. And that's the thing is that, you know, if it was a repeated thing, you know, if you keep coming back to the table, then obviously you're going to keep going until you win big and then you quietly back out at that point. It's better than that. Cause yeah, if you can keep going back to the table, you obviously just sit there and keep feeding dollars in it until you have as much money as you want. But this is a one-time bit, and so therefore, yeah, I'm not willing to risk, you know, going $2,000 into debt on the chance of winning 20. I can't gamble like that. It's just not in my nature. I would love to, because again, boy, the smart move is to take the bet, right? I just can't. So, hey, what are you doing there, right hand? 13. Oh, 13. All right. Lisa gets her third. How about that? Lisa says, what is the stupidest way you have ever hurt yourself? Oh my God, there are so many stupid ways I have hurt myself. So many. I mean, okay. The absolute stupidest way I've hurt myself is any time that I've been with people, usually friends, so-called friends, and, okay, college kids, I know I've told this story on air before, but we'll just go through it. College guys sitting around, somebody has a cigar, and so we're passing around a cigar because we don't smoke cigars, but we're passing around the cigar to try it. And then one of the guys takes a deep drag and inhales, because even though you're not supposed to inhale with a cigar, they did, and then blows it out of his nose. And after blowing the smoke out of his nose, he screams in agony and starts complaining about how badly that hurts. Apparently it burns your sinuses terribly. You're not supposed to do that. So the guy sitting next to him says, hold on, let me try it. He takes it, inhales, blows smoke out of his nose, and screams because it is super painful. Me, I am, what, the fourth guy in line? I've just watched three, maybe four of my friends do something stupid and then talk about how badly it hurt and how much they wish they hadn't done that. So I have to try it. And yeah, guess what? It hurt really bad. It was not permanent damage. It wasn't, it wasn't any kind of tragedy. It was painful, but you know, self-inflicted. And that's the dumb part. So I just watched other people do it and then I went ahead and did it anyway. That's the kind of thing that stupid friends in college do. So, is that the stupidest way I've ever hurt myself? No, but it's pretty close. I mean, that's pretty stupid, right? Clearly. All right. And then that's it. So we're going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2020 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, as performed by the Black Dove Underground. Yeah, I think so. My bumper music this week was Word of Mouth, Bread and Butter, as performed by, this isn't the Devo version, this is the original version. I gotta go back and get the Devo version, damn it. And then also, She Blinded Me with Science, as performed by William Shatner, and I think that's it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Uncomfortable Topics, Nerd Culture Report. Yeah, those don't require anything. Okay, that's it. So, all the songs I use are available on a variety of music services. You should check them out. You should listen to them, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in whatever podcatcher you use, and then write us a nice review or a crappy review, as long as you're giving us 5 stars, because those stars are what make all the difference to the algorithm. See ya. Third time's the charm, I got it right. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. Because if you're enjoying it, then you need to spread the word, let other people enjoy it, because honestly, word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, as my wife did this week. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Let me know if you want to be included in Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, you should send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact information is Mike at Nerd Pride Radio, at Nerd Pride Radio on some social medias that I never bother to check. But honestly, very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message, and we will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We will have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I send out messages to my Nerd Pride Gallium Club, and I let everybody know, hey, I am recording anything you want to say on the podcast, I will read off at the end, and that is exactly what I am doing right now. So, I sent out and said, Nerd Pride Gallium is go! I am recording solo tonight, so ask me anything, and while we're at it, tell me about one of your favorite movie scenes. One you can watch over and over, or one you can watch over and over, even if, or especially if, the rest of the movie doesn't hold up. The first response I got back was from Pat. And Pat says, the scene in The Next Karate Kid when the monks start line dancing in the shrine. I have never seen The Next Karate Kid. I know it's Hilary Swank. And Pat Morita reprises his role as Mr. Miyagi, but I have never actually seen it, so I don't know if this is made up or not. But YouTube will tell me. Hold on. Click, click. Okay. Next Karate Kid, line dancing monks. Okay, there. Holy shit, that's a real scene. We're not watching it, but holy shit, that's a real scene. Okay, all right, I'll give you that one. And it must be good, because Pat wants to watch it over and over, apparently. All right, next up is Kyle. Kyle says, oh, the dairy farm in Inglourious Bastards is near perfect cinema. Yeah, and okay, before I move on to the next part of this, absolutely. Tarantino is a master at doing a scene, like a vignette, a little. I mean, he can tell an entire story in just about a 10-15 minute scene. It is, if you have seen the movie Four Rooms, it's very uneven and half of it sucks, but Tarantino's bit is guys betting over whether or not a lighter will light 10 times in a row, and the tension in that scene and then the absolute destruction of that tension is just masterful. And that's one of his really early bits where Tarantino did just one of the four short stories in Four Rooms, and it was great. All right, you watch Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction is where I first fell in love with Tarantino's work. And Pulp Fiction is a whole scene, or a whole movie, put together out of these scenes. And they're not told in sequential order. They happen to share characters. And when you put them all together, they do form a story of redemption. And they do make some sense. But it's really just like four or five really good scenes put together in a particular order to make a whole movie. And in that sense, he's masterful at what he does. And so, yeah, the dairy farm scene in Inglourious Bastards is the single best scene in that movie. It is, I just did this in my review for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, great scenes, a bunch of really great scenes all the way through this movie. And if you like Tarantino, you should absolutely watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood if you haven't yet. It is a great movie. But ultimately, it doesn't hold together. I felt like at the end, I just watched a whole bunch of really great scenes that didn't tell me a cohesive story over the whole of it. You know what I mean? It just didn't quite come together for me. And so same thing with Inglourious Basterds. I felt like, yeah, I know it did have, it actually had a real solid story, but it just didn't feel, I don't know, it didn't feel of a piece for me. Whereas Hateful Eight did, and for some reason Pulp Fiction did, Reservoir Dogs. I've watched everything Tarantino's done, and look, I'm going to keep coming back for more. I don't care. I will watch everything that he makes, because even when he doesn't make a great movie, he makes great scenes. So I'm totally on board with you there, Kyle. All right, but having said that, Kyle then goes on and says, here's a question for you. How do you pamper yourself? Oh, all right. Pampering used to be making a lot of comfort food, you know, splurging on some comfort food and just relaxing and whatever. But okay, I can't do that. But, I can. I shouldn't do that. That is now, you know, just eating for comfort. That doesn't, no. But if I'm going to do something just for me, it usually involves time. It usually involves just taking time to, honestly, just a hot bath and reading a book. Absolutely one of my favorite things to do. Just to relax, get away from all of it, because, I mean, yes, the whole family's still here, and people are still going to barge in on you while you're in the bathroom. People are still going to talk to you. I read all of my books on my phone, so I'm still connected to all of my communication, and yet there's something about being in the tub that, you know, it's just a little more isolated. It's just, I don't know, you feel just away from it all. And it's a simple thing to do, if you don't mind wasting all that water, because God, it feels so good. So, but that's most of it. I mean, that's the kind of thing I do. It's just you know, letting myself do something mindless for a little while. It feels good. All right. But anyway, next up. Come on. Got to learn to work a phone, people. That was Kyle. So next up is Todd. All right, Todd has a question. Todd says, oh man, this is a great question. What part of our during COVID life do you hope outlives the current situation? Distancing in public, better sanitation, forgetting what day of the week it is regularly, better carryout support from restaurants. Look, the things like... The better carry out and delivery support, I'm all for that. And we were already moving to that, though. I mean, we were already moving to all sorts of delivery services for food. Most towns have curbside pickup or delivery or both for groceries, for medication. I mean, Walmart's doing it now. So those are things that we were moving towards, and this is forcing us to be better at it. I hope that, and because I don't think we've really addressed this with our during COVID life, but I hope that this spurs businesses to more closely examine our supply chains and make them a little more resilient in order to weather emergencies like this, because this should not have been a time of shortages. This should not, we shouldn't have run out of masks and other PPE. We should not have run out of toilet paper. We should not have run out of a million things. And now, even now, the supply chain is so mucked up that I show up at my store and like the brand of iced tea that my family likes just happens to be gone, so we have to buy something else as a substitute. And it's just that one brand, but constantly off the shelves. I was just talking to my brother-in-law, Bill, And he's complaining because the Italian spice that he uses in his kitchen, he cannot get. Like, every time he goes out to look for it, every time he tries to order it from his grocery or from Walmart, they're just out of it. Italian spice. That's it. And so it's just little things, and it's weird stuff that's just missing from the shelf, and sometimes, like, some weird item that's missing for just weeks. And then all of a sudden it's back, and there's no rhyme or reason to them. I can't come up with good logical reasons other than, oh yeah, their factory must have been disrupted, or some part of their supply chain must have been disrupted. Anyway, I think being more ready for this sort of emergency, I don't necessarily think that this much isolation is good for us. It's not horrible in a lot of ways, but also, you know, people need social interaction. Kids need social interaction. And so, you know, I don't know. The mask wearing isn't bad. I think it wouldn't be bad if, I mean, imagine the difference that this would make to flu season if every flu season, not only does everybody get a flu shot, but also during flu season, we tend to wear masks more often. I mean, even if it's just half the people, wouldn't that be kind of cool? I mean, what's happened to the flu rates this year and the common cold rates this year? What's going to happen as we get into cold weather again when cold and flu season comes around? How is cold and flu season going to be affected by by the prevalence of masks around here? And holy shit, what kind of difference does that make to the health of our society? That's pretty awesome, I think. So I wouldn't mind seeing that around. There's some parts of it where, again, I don't know how healthy the constant isolation is. But yeah, definitely masks. That's one for sure that the habit of wearing masks when infectious disease is prevalent. Yeah, that's not a bad plan. Really isn't. Anyway, that was my friend Todd. Good question, Todd. Oh, next is Lisa. Lisa says, movie scenes. Oh, Skippy from tech support on the elevator in the movie The Losers. Great scene. Great scene. That was Chris Evans. And that was awesome. And then, oh, she says also, the piano scene from the movie Big, which, oh, God, great one. I mean, seriously, Tom Hanks does no wrong, honestly. Even Bachelor Party was fun back in the day. I mean, God, that's still a weird one to watch now, as we found out during Awesome in the 80s. But the piano scene was awesome. My own personal ones, the reason that I thought of this question in the first place is I have said a million times that the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, Heath Ledger, Julia Stiles, what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Anyway, not that his name is relevant here. 10 Things I Hate About You, there is something about that final scene where she volunteers to read her poem and she starts reading off the 10 things she hates about him, and it's tearful, and it's, I don't know, that scene gets to me every single time. And for a long time, when this thing was, when I had cable TV, and thus I could be flipping through channels and just stumble across a movie like this, I would stumble across 10 Things I Hate About You often, and every time I did, if I hit 10 Things I Hate About You, I would have to sit there and watch it until that scene. I had to watch all the way to the end because I had to see that scene. Same thing with My Cousin Vinny. Marissa Tomei's courtroom scene at the end is just one of the best, top notch. I love that scene. I love her acting in it. I think it's just, it is great. It is really great. I like that one. And then also, and both of those are movies that now cannot imagine sitting through 10 Things I Hate About You just to get to that scene. As much as I love that scene, I can't imagine sitting all the way through that movie just to get there. Same thing with My Cousin Vinny. Maybe if I have someone new to share it with, but, you know, I've seen the movie enough times that I'm not interested in watching the whole movie, but I'll watch Marissa Tomei. That's great. I think that scene is wonderful. Now, Galaxy Quest, I can watch Galaxy Quest all day, every day. I love that movie. It is one of the best movies ever made. But there is something about Justin Long saving the Protector at the end of this movie that just gets me right in the feels every time. I love that with him. I mean, after everything he goes through and he's having to gather supplies and help guide them in, and oh God, we've got a mission to be on, but crap, I have to take out the garbage right in the middle? Now, Mom? Seriously? And then he's out there and watching him waving his communicator over his head as the Protector is coming in, it about brings tears to my eyes every time, because that is, I mean, that's fan service. That is very literally showing that the fans are the heart of the show. Without the fans, they would not be able to do this. All right, without the people who love them, they couldn't keep going. And to me, that moves me every time. Love that scene. So anyway, those were mine. But you guys didn't ask. Let me get back to where I was. That was from Lisa. So the next one, oh, it's Jacob. Jacob says, oh, I'm late. Bummer. I would have said the church scene in The Kingsman. You're not late. What? When? I sent it out at 8 o'clock and you responded at 8:22. You're not late at all. So I'm glad you made it in. And yes, the church scene in Kingsman, phenomenal. I've seen that movie. That I've only seen Kingsman twice, but for some reason I've seen that church scene three times, and I don't remember why. Maybe I watched it on YouTube. Maybe I have no idea. Anyway, the church scene from Kingsman is spectacular. That is fun. And then last one is from Kaz. Let's see. Oh, all right. Kaz says, Mike, I want to know the last webcomic you liked reading. And then, all right, I'll get back to that in a minute. Also, for best scenes, nothing beats the Colonel Marines finally going toe-to-toe with the alien. Oh, the Colonial Marines finally going toe-to-toe with the aliens. Hudson dies in the most awesome way. I cannot argue with you. Aliens, I like both movies. I probably like Alien better than Aliens, but I guess it depends on my mood, because they're two completely different movies. Set in the same world with the same unifying theme, the same good guys and bad guys. But they are very different movies. And yes, I completely agree with you. That is awesome. All right, now, he wants to know the last webcomic that I liked reading. Okay. Look, the webcomics that I currently like reading is, look, I read XKCD three times a week, every week. XKCD is always awesome. And if you want just joke-a-day style comics like that, I mean, yes, XKCD is incredibly smart, but it's still a joke-a-day comic, or, you know, a joke every other day. But Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, or Breakfast Comics, I can't remember. Anyway, it's SMBC, is another very smart, science-based webcomic that is a joke-a-day style. And he is super funny. I really enjoy that. And he has a new comic every day, and totally worth your while. Check it out. Cyanide and Happiness, it's a bit dirty. Well, it's a lot dirty, and it's often mean, and sometimes the humor is lowest common denominator. But a lot of the jokes hit. So, you know, I keep reading just because the ones that do make it, the ones that really, really strike a chord, they're worth the other garbage ones. So I tune into that. But ones with an ongoing story, look, I'm still reading Order of the Stick. I've been following Order of the Stick for, what, 10 years now? How long has Order of the Stick been out there? I started near the beginning. And so that one is still going on, and I absolutely adore it. It just keeps getting better. Like everybody else, I wish he produced, you know, more than two comics a month, but hey, I'll take what I can get. It is worth the wait. There are other comics that have slowed down to that rate, and once they do, it's like I can't really follow them anymore. It's just not. I'm not as invested in them, and so it's harder to follow them when they start to slow down. So I just save them up until they have a whole bunch of updates, and then I jump in. But Order of the Stick, I check every day. Even if you just put out a new comic the day before, I will check the next day just in case. Because that's how much I love Order of the Stick. It is wonderful. I am still reading Questionable Content every day. I find Questionable Content to be, it hasn't been as exciting lately, but it's a good comic. And the times it has paid off, again, it's paid off really well. And it's a good ongoing story. And it's a story about love and relationships and emotions in general. And I enjoy it. It's fun. And then Dicebox. Ah, I love Dicebox. Jen Manley Lee is the author and artist. And Dicebox is really good. It is super cool sci-fi. But it's very character-oriented sci-fi. And it's a wonderful story. It's going to be a full-length graphic novel, multiple issue graphic novel by the time she's done with this. I think she's in the final book right now. And it is great, and yet, all of a sudden, here we are in the final book, and it's been hung for like 7 months, 8 months, no updates, no word on why there's no updates. So I hope she's okay. I hope things are going well. And I hope someday we see more Dicebox. I would love to see the story finished. But anyway, Dicebox is a good one. That's most of them. Sluggy Freelance. I just had to give them up again. I have quit Sluggy Freelance how many times? And then I'll go back to reread a story I really like, or I'll go back to decide, okay, look, I quit, a year and a half ago, but let's go in and just see what the storyline looks like and what I missed. And then once I can read it all in order, I get caught up and I'm like, oh, all right, now it's interesting again. But they finally came to a grand finale that he intended to be the end of the series. This was going to be the grand finale and he was done. And it tied up a zillion loose ends and it was this huge mess of a bunch of comics. And he finally tied it all up. And then out of nowhere, as he's been complaining constantly, that he just doesn't have time to get caught up on all the work he has. And he's so sorry about being late, and he's so sorry about this because he just doesn't have any more time. But he's gotten to the end. He's going to get it all wrapped up. And then, like within the week, he's like, yo, wait, hold on. I figured out a new way to take these stories. We're going to keep going. And that's where I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I can't keep going. I just can't. I would love to, but I can't. All right, anyway. That's the end of that. And, oh, I guess that's the end of everything because I'm done. So, yep, no more new ones. So, hey, you guys have been great. I appreciate you being here. I hope everything is well with you. I hope you can keep joining me every week like this. I love you guys. I love being here. I love doing this. So, say goodnight, R2. All right. Come back and join me next week. Bye.